Welcome to Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast with Elizabeth Crawford, where I dish with trendsetters, tastemakers, and industry experts about everything from emerging trends to regulatory pressures to marketing strategies. Sales of clean label products are outperforming total store sales, according to new research from the Acosta Group, which also found consumer interest in products that are free of quote-unquote bad ingredients or chemicals is rising alongside high-profile state legislation seeking to ban specific food additives. According to new research from the Acosta Group, 81% of U.S. consumers surveyed in January said it's important to them to purchase clean label food products, and 55% say they would like more regulations, like the recently passed California Food Safety Act of 2023 that gives manufacturers until 2027 to remove products sold in the state containing brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, propolyparaben, and red dye number 3. At the same time, some consumers can't afford the higher prices that clean label products often command and may not have the sophistication necessary to navigate the nuances of the food safety and nutrition debates playing out on the national stage, which could dampen sales of clean label products in the coming year. In this episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast, Acosta Group Senior Vice President of Thought, Leadership, and Shopper Insights, Kathy Risch, shares takeaways from the company's Clean Label Insights study released earlier this month, including how consumers define clean label, what attributes resonate with them, and how and where they're prioritizing clean label against other factors such as price. She also shares how generational differences and headlines about state bans are influencing clean label purchases and what these might mean for the future of the movement. Even though clean label is not officially defined and is often used as an insider term by industry, Risch says Acosta found 83% of shoppers know about clean label products or have heard the term, which is opening the door for its use more broadly in marketing than maybe in the past. But as Risch explains, how consumers characterize the concept differs by generation, which may require a more nuanced approach from marketers hoping to leverage clean label's health halo.
I think the term clean label is getting more and more attention as a specific label, but the whole idea of products not having bad ingredients or removal of bad ingredients is decades old. I mean, I used to head up market research at Neutrogena, and something that was core and central to our own brand equity at the time was being free of dyes or additives. We never referred to it as clean label because at the time, clean to us meant facial cleansing. And to consumers, it meant facial cleansing. So that's actually, I like that example and that parallel because clean is such a generic term that means so much to so many people. And so then over time, as clean label has been used as the term within the industry to represent these products without bad things or simpler labels, as brands and retailers have started using that label in the last several years to actually label their lines of products at retail as clean ingredients, or even calling it clean label for certain brands like raw sugar, is very bold about being clean label, but they may not be as clean as another brand that is saying I'm going to be totally free of clean of fragrance as well. So again, there's delineation there. Because we actually wanted to understand just unprompted, open-ended, what do they think is clean label and how they would define clean label products. And interestingly, in their own words, there were some very common themes. So a lot of common language around the ingredients where no artificial ingredients, food that has limited artificial flavor, free of chemicals came up quite a bit, no additives or chemically processed ingredients, made without preservatives or pesticides, without artificial or synthetic additives or limited artificial flavors. So all of these things were nice to hear that there is over time, there has become a pretty good understanding of what it means, but not necessarily are they naming specific ingredients. That wasn't really coming up. We then did prompt them with an aided list of things. So, and really what rose to the top when we gave them a long list of what is clean, the ones that this is where it got interesting because it became very different by generation. So not to say that they were completely different in what they thought, but because across the board, you do have things like no chemicals or pesticides, no artificial ingredients, and no preservatives coming up. But the younger consumers, the younger generations, Gen Z and millennials, were much more likely to describe clean label as natural or organic. So we had those two in our list. Whereas older generations, the Gen X and boomers, did not agree with that. And that to me was a big insight and discovery that in speaking to younger people about clean label, natural and organic have a lot of overlap in their mind. They're not one and the same precisely, but there is much more overlap. Whereas the older generations actually are much more thinking clean label is that no bad things in it, you know, the no artificial, the no chemicals or pesticides. So that was an interesting distinction.
As consumer awareness and understanding of clean label has increased and coalesced, so too has their purchase rate of clean label products. Using point of sale data from NIQ, Acosta's report reveals that clean label sales are outperforming store sales by a compound annual growth rate of 8% versus 6% respectively over the last 4 years. Walrich says she likes to look at the glasses half full. She did caution that inflation paired with clean label products premium pricing could slow their growth in the coming years.
We've been doing this collaborating with NIQ, and we are now able to do analysis by attribute of the POS, the sales data within the database to really track the trends, the sales trends and growth rates among products that have certain attributes versus those who do not. And over the last 4 years, the average CAGR, average growth rate in clean label products was actually 2 percentage points higher than the rest of store. And so that is really speaking to this not being a brand new thing. It's something that for many years is meaningful and making it into people's carts and being valued. So there is an interesting nuance, though, that I think has been impacted by inflation because with prices on the increase, that is really impacting some of these choices. And so the inflation rate, the average price of clean label products has gone up about 10%. And that is actually softening the growth rate a bit, where the 8% growth rate for clean label versus the total store 6% is over 4 years, an average over 4 years. In the past 12 months, it's softened a bit, and it's really just kind of held back, I believe, by that increased average price. And so it's becoming an even more difficult choice with the pressures that people are feeling from inflation in what they're even able to afford across the board, with food actually eating up more of their own personal household budget and just having to shop around more and just price being more front and center in the decisions that they're making. So they still highly value it and it's still making it into the cart. It's just a tougher decision given the price. Our research, we even addressed that if the price were the same, it's a no-brainer. And so if you're looking at one product that is clean label versus another, it's going to make it in the cart, no doubt. You know, and then there are a percentage of people that would still buy it even if it cost more. But, that's not going to be quite as widespread. 50% would be buying the clean label if it's the same as a standard product, whereas only 33% are going to buy clean label even if it's higher. So you still have a good third. I always like to look at the glass as half full, that you still have 33% saying I'll buy the clean label over the standard product or the other product, even if the price is higher. It's just I feel like that other chunk of the pie of, hey, it needs to be the same price is just a lot of the current pressure on price evaluation going on with inflation. Interestingly, 40% of men are willing to buy clean label even if the price is higher, whereas that's only 28% for women. And this is not inconsistent with other research we've done in terms of the impact that inflation has. I think that more women primary grocery shoppers are paying attention to prices and budget in the moment. I mean, these numbers aren't drastically different, but I think that is an interesting nuance worth calling out. On the other hand, the other time that males stood out in our study versus females was they actually think more males than females think clean label is a bunch of hype. So it's not at high levels, but there is a higher percent of them that don't believe in all of it and think of it as hype. Some people just don't believe in clean label, and I think it's a lack of understanding. So that would be the other barrier, is just lack of understanding of what it is. So if you walk into one of the retailers that has signage around clean ingredients or clean label, there might be a barrier to picking up a product from it because so many consumers are still not quite sure what that means. And so lack of knowledge and understanding could also be a barrier, but price was the biggest one that came out of the specific open-ended way we asked it.
One way that clean label brands can address consumers' price concerns is by elevating the perceived value of the products by not only calling out what is not in them, but also, as Rich says, calling out the good stuff that is in their products.
It sounds like I'm stating the obvious, to communicate what is not in your product, but that's really, really important, and that can be done so easily on your packaging. If it's something that's this important to consumers, it's that important to make it front and center on your package in a very clear way. But I do also want to bring up what I think is a good example, and there are many doing this, but Dave's Killer Bread is a great example of really highlighting on their package and in all of their supporting communications what's not in the product. So, the word no is very transparent in people's faces of no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial preservatives, no artificial ingredients. Like that, those are the first three big bold messages, but then follows it up right up with what good stuff is in it, the good for you aspect, to add that value back in. So what it is packed with, the power packed with whole grains or always USDA organic. So if you have that nice balance, I think that's going to help be the better value or choice when it comes to the price comparison. If you actually are, as a manufacturer, communicating the what's not in it in the clean label space, but what's also better for you or good for you or the good ingredients to get credit for that. So that's the toughest part for manufacturers right now, is I don't think they get credit for the amazing things they're doing. I could talk about this with sustainability too. They never get credit for all the amazing things they're doing unless a shopper goes all the way to their website and studies all the things they're doing in the sourcing of their product, the growing of their ingredients. So I think in this case, if they can tell a transparent story on their pack as well as their materials, like communication materials, and get that credit they deserve.
Riche adds that retailers can also help elevate the value of clean label by better communicating its value and their offerings to consumers in-store, on their websites, and in their apps, because many consumers are actually looking to stores to provide more guidance.
They do want the retailers to help them understand clean label and what their clean label offerings are, and that is important to them. It really is important. You've got 70% of shoppers saying that it's important for the retailer to assist them in understanding clean label. And to follow up with that, they have high trust. So they trust the retailer. So if the retailer is providing them information on their clean label efforts or the products that they carry, the majority of their shoppers actually do trust what the retailer is saying. So that's a nice combination. They're looking for the retailer to provide that help, and they trust them when they do.
The other major barrier to clean label purchases in the coming year, that lack of awareness or understanding or even dismissal of its value as a bunch of hype, as Reach put it, could naturally diminish in the coming years as state legislation seeking to ban specific food additives gain traction, beginning with the recent passage of California Food Safety Act of 2023.
California Food Safety Act of 2023 is the most prominent news that's driving the headlines in the industry and the awareness that there is. And so that banning of those four specific ingredients in food and beverages by 2027 is the most prominent regulation that's hit. In terms of awareness, though, the industry is much more aware than consumers. So we did ask consumers about their awareness of this specific California Food Safety Act, and across the U.S., it's only 22% that are aware. That is higher in California for obvious reasons. I'm sure it's in their own headlines and in their what they read and are told. So it's 38% awareness among California residents, but only 20% among the non-California residents. So there's even awareness to be gained in that state itself. Now there's other regulations that have now been proposed even just this year. We're keeping a close eye on it. So the states of Illinois, New York, and the state of Washington have also submitted proposals to ban the same four ingredients, but they're layering back on the fifth ingredient that was taken out of the California Food Safety Act, which is titanium dioxide. So these are all now bans that would be the full five ingredients. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, because at that point, if those three states get added, it's really becoming a national issue, and I'm sure will drive awareness up even more. And just one more thing to add for you on the California Food Safety Act. We did ask them, we made them aware of it once we were asking like what their awareness was. We did actually let them know what the act was and what their reaction to it was, if they like it, if they're positive and they think, if they like that law, or if they're kind of, indifferent, or don't like it. And for the majority actually were positive to it. So we kind of used a smiley face method of asking that question to just see what their comfort level and appeal of that law is. And so the majority, like 65%, actually do have a positive smiley face reaction to the law. And that's even higher with Gen Zs at 73% who like the law, and natural and specialty shoppers as well. Those channel shoppers have a higher level of appeal than overall as well at 75%.
Looking forward, Reach predicts state legislation banning food ingredients will further drive the clean label movement on two fronts. One, it will continue to raise consumer awareness and interest in clean label. And two, it will boost availability and selection of clean label products as brands reformulate to comply with state laws.
I definitely see it as continuing to grow in awareness because of the regulation. So it's going to get a lot of attention with the extension into other states that I mentioned going on. So that is one thing that will be happening even this year is greater awareness. And then, of course, as manufacturers have to actually adjust to meet the needs of California and then potentially other states and potentially just reformulate nationally, there's going to be a lot more of marketing dollars put against the innovation that manufacturers are doing, and retailers will continue to step it up. So definitely isn't going away. It's going to grow in terms of the number of offerings and the attention and the prioritization by shoppers first is the last but not least point. We predicted, as you saw, one of our five Acosta Group predictions of the year was this whole, was all around this, that shoppers will prioritize what's not in their products in 2024. So already 2 months in, we've done this research to validate that's true. And with, I think that will continue for the rest of the year, but I think it would extend well beyond this year. And we even asked, you know, shoppers in this study, their expectations in terms of purchasing and will that continue to grow? And they're definitely going to continue to buy clean label, and some expect to buy even more. So price will continue to be a barrier this year. And so that may hold back the sales growth. As I mentioned, when you're talking about like, are sales just going to be off the charts? No. I think that's going to be the challenge, is how do manufacturers meet the needs of clean label and keep the price comparable to other products. So I think that the sales growth rates will still be modest in this area. But the ones that I didn't mention this earlier that popped in terms of within the list of bad ingredients for growth rate, it is the ones that are getting eliminated in that California Act. And so where there is some growth rate advantages, it is some of those. So I think that will be something that's good. We're going to continue to see is attention to sales growth rates with products that do not have those ingredients. And I think that will grow. It's not going to be at dramatically higher levels for the time being.
For those interested in learning more about where the clean label movement is headed, they can find more details from Acosta's Clean Label Insights study, which is based on the group's proprietary shopper community, at Acosta's website, acosta.group, or by emailing insights@acosta.com. With that, we've come to the end of another episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and will join me again for a future installment. And to help you remember, I encourage you to subscribe. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Crawford wishing you a productive, profitable, and safe week.